Who here is spicy? Lloyd, yeah. Who likes spices? Lloyd, okay. I like spices too. Is anyone here salty? Have you ever heard the term, you old salt? You know, salty dog, that's a sailor term, right? Salty dog, you old salt. Well, I'm going to be teaching out of Matthew 5, verse 13, just one verse that has so much depth. And does anybody know where that passage comes from before I go on? Matthew 5, verse 13. What was Jesus teaching at that moment? It was called the Beatitudes. Okay, he was teaching in the Beatitudes, and it was a pretty long teaching. There's a lot of good stuff in that, and you can take each passage and really break them down. So we're just going to break down verse 13. Let's pray. Father God, as we open your word today to read this one verse, we pray that we would be seasoned with your wisdom and your knowledge. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm asking you again, are you a salt shaker? Look. Does anybody want to be a salt shaker? I don't know if I'd want to be this little guy, but this little thing here has so much power. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about the power of salt? Wow. Salt is today pretty common. But back in the day of Jesus, we're going to learn it really wasn't as common or as accessible, I should say. It was common and it was used, but it was not as common as this, or as accessible as this. Not everybody had one of these on their table. Matter of fact, back in the day, I might get mugged for this. But today, people are going to go, salt? It's everywhere. Okay? So, the verse says in Matthew 5:13, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Do you ever think about that passage? Especially that one part that says, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? You can't season salt with salt. It would just then be diluted salt, wouldn't it? Salt is in itself a seasoning. But once it loses its flavor, it is then worthless. So, let me ask you again. Are you a worthless salt shaker? I added an extra word in there. Or are you a salt shaker? Jesus told us that because of what he was going to do, because he really was preaching into the future for us, but he was telling us that we are the salt of the earth. So let's learn a little bit about salt. Salt, also known as sodium chloride, is a mineral that can be used for a multitude of things. This mineral is very essential for human and animal health, as well as it is to industry. So in humans, a deficiency of salt can do what? It can cause a swelling of the thyroid gland. And ranchers will generally disperse salt to their livestock via salt blocks known as salt licks. When I used to sweep chimneys, I would be up in the highlands at times, and it was interesting to be up on a roof and see herds of horses going to salt licks that had been placed out there by numerous people out there to help the horses and the livestock, especially the free-ranging horses, in the wintertime. And then people would water them as well. But the salt licks were out there, and it's a necessity for the animals, and they were drawn to it. Something within them that God had created caused them to be drawn to those salt licks, and they would lick it, and it would help them. And in the human body, when we get our blood work done, that is one of the things they check for, is our level of sodium chloride in our body. We are all created by God with salt in our body, and we need it. It's an essential part of our health. So when Jesus made this statement addressing the people during his Sermon on the Mount, because that's the other thing it's called, of course, the Sermon on the Mount, they had no problem understanding what he meant when he said, "You are the salt of the earth." They understood the importance of salt and its value. How much do we consider that today? Do we sit down and just ponder the value of salt and its worth? But the people back then did. They really did. And so when we hear Jesus say that, I don't think we put as much credence into what he's saying as they did at that very moment. His statement carried great weight. Most likely his listeners had all kinds of images flashing through their minds, and they understood the many connotations that salt carried with it. With this illustration of salt, Jesus was teaching about the influence that we as followers of Christ should have upon the world in which we live in. The Greek word for salt is halas, H-A-L-A-S. And it describes salt exactly like the salt right here we use in our homes, found in our kitchens today. I actually found this in the kitchen. I just thought, hey, I'll bring this up. This is a good observation. So today, salt is very common and easy to purchase at any grocery store, at least right now. Maybe the shelves will be bare because we can't get it to market, but right now it's very common. Today, during Jesus' day, salt was an expensive and treasured commodity that was crucial and needed in many spheres of life, and was not as readily accessible as it is today. Even when I was in the military, there would always be someone with a salt shaker in their pack, because we had to season those K rations or those C rats. There was hot sauce and salt. Those were our two main things that we carried around, and we would know who would have what. Hey, I need to go over to Joe to get the salt, or to John to get the hot sauce to spice up my stuff, to make it more palatable. High-quality salt could only be found in a few places in Israel. The Hill of Salt. Has anybody heard of the Hill of Salt? It's in Israel, of course, a 7-mile stretch located on the southwest coast of the Dead Sea. That was one of the most popular places where salt was acquired. Here's an interesting factoid. It could also be collected from the marshes that were situated along the embankment of the Dead Sea, or gathered by surrounding salt pits near the Dead Sea. Regardless, the gathering of salt during that day was a very costly and time-consuming process. That is what made salt a very costly commodity. They didn't have what we have today. We go in with all kinds of high-tech machinery and equipment, and it's all processed and taken care of, and we get pounds and pounds of salt. Well, then back then, this much salt was pretty costly. Because of this, salt was so rare, and it was very seldom wasted. You ever do this? You wouldn't have done that back then. Oh my goodness. You just threw away a few hundred bucks. Rachel Ray, she's always licking salt over her shoulder. So, but they didn't waste salt back then. It was sparingly used and highly valued. So think about that. With that thought, have you ever heard of a catchphrase or a saying? He's worth his salt. Where'd that come from? I'm sure it came back from that era when salt was a highly desired, priceless commodity. So now we're going to look at some of the uses of salt. As I studied this, I might be speaking to the choir. You guys might already know this, but I'm hoping that maybe you can glean something out of this that you were not aware of what salt was used for and could still be used for, or probably still is used for. So, first off, salt was used as a preservative. We have a hunter in the room, I know that, and hunters back in the old day used salt to preserve their kill or their meat. Well, they also did it back then. It was added to meats, especially during warm temperatures, because it would slow the decay of the meat. So when people heard Jesus say, "You are the salt of the earth," they understood that he meant that through our influence or their influence, we should be what? A preserving force in our arena of life. Simply because the world is filled with rot, spoil, and decay. God's word working in our lives causes us to be like salt, and our very presence helps abate the corruption that is eating away at this world. The Lord shook his salt on each one of us so that through us, as obedient vessels, at some point in our life, we are going to be preserved. It's preserving us for eternity. We're being preserved. So we're a preservative to the world and our environment around us, and we're being preserved. Isn't that a neat concept? And we are to be used to help preserve others so that they don't rot for eternity. So, are you a salt shaker? Are you shaking your salt out on those around you so they don't rot in eternity? That should be our greatest desire. Does anybody remember a big story about salt in the Bible? Yeah, let's think about this one, Sodom and Gomorrah. The story of Sodom and Gomorrah is a great example how the righteousness or how the righteous of God can be a preservation or preservation to hold back judgment. This is very much like an example that we're living in today. Abraham was told by an angel that God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham knew that his nephew was living there. And he went to prayer. He prayed, "God, would you hold back your judgment if there were 50 righteous?" And God said yes. And so Abraham kept counting down because he knew that there wasn't that many there. And he worked a 45, 40, and then he was going down. He finally got to 10, and God said he would not destroy if there were found 10 righteous men in Sodom and Gomorrah. But there wasn't that many found. There was one. But God withheld his judgment on them until that one was taken out. And as I studied this, it gave me a picture of today. God's judgment, according to Revelation, is coming. His wrath and judgment is coming to this earth. But it's being held back because of the righteous. The righteous are sitting here right now. The righteous are the body of Christ throughout the world. And one day God is going to take them home and boom, things are going to happen. Just like they did to Sodom and Gomorrah. And what happened there? The wrath of God was poured out and they were turned. It was fire and brimstone. That place became a great salt flat. But it was the preservation of the righteous that withheld the judgment. And that's what we are right now. And the Holy Spirit resides in God's people. And because of that, the full wrath of God's judgment is being withheld on this world right now, just as it was on Sodom and Gomorrah, until the righteous ones are removed. God took the righteous out, and then he poured out his wrath on Sodom and Gomorrah. And I believe that was a picture then of what's coming soon, according to God's word. Once Lot was removed, the wrath of God poured down. But even then, here's an interesting thought. Lot did not go willingly. He kind of wanted to stay. And do we not feel like that sometimes? We like it here, God. We like doing what we're doing. We like driving our new truck. Or we like going out hunting. We like camping. We like shopping. We like taking care of our grandbabies. We like a lot of things here on earth. But you know what? They're nothing compared to what God has in store for us. So we should desire to be going home with him whenever that call comes. Let us not be like Lot saying, but. Let us be saying, let's go. Yes, I like it here to a point, but I want to go home to be with the Father. But in the meantime, I'm to be a salt shaker. And I'm to be helping, I'm to be about preserving my area with the Word of God, shaking out the Word of God through speaking it and through living it. Okay, that was one. Salt is a preservative. Are you a preservative? The next thing, salt is used as a flavor enhancer. Who here likes dull, boring, tasteless food? Who here does not have a salt shaker in their kitchen? Yep, see, I don't see any. What? Terry? Doesn't have a salt shaker?
Blood pressure.
Well, blood pressure. However, with that being said, all the foods we eat usually already have salt. And I get where you're at, my friend, because we don't cook with a lot of salt simply because of that. My wife and I we never grab the salt, really, and start putting it on food. Because most of our foods today are processed with salt. But in the old day, it wasn't. And yet, I know people that will just take salt, and it's like, are you going to stop shaking the salt on that food? Because they just keep going, you know? They like putting salt on their food. But it is one of the most used flavor enhancers worldwide to bring out the taste in food. I didn't know this when I was younger, but I wondered why some people put salt on watermelon. Dennis is going, I do. Why? Okay, Dennis, why do you do that? What's it do?
I like salt.
What's it do to the watermelon? It pops, right? And that it does. It makes it juicier. And some may disagree, but I think it makes it a little sweeter too, which is interesting. How does salt make something sweeter? But it is. It's a flavor enhancer. Unsalted food is often monotonous, bland, and uninteresting. But when salt is added, the flavor is ignited. It was considered essential for the long-term preservation of food and for the enhancement of taste. Therefore, it was vital in every kitchen. How does this apply to us as Christians today? It tells us that not only Should our presence abate the evil in this world, we should also change the flavor of our society as we bring the savor of Christ into our surroundings wherever we go. As followers of Christ, who are truly living in obedience to His calling, the Holy Spirit within us will be flowing over, which will cause others to notice. Have you ever, you've been witnessing to some people for a long time, and maybe they were crusty old souls. They have terrible language or attitudes or actions. But because your presence has been in their life, when you arrive, when you show up, you suddenly notice that maybe their speech habits change. I have some people that I've been around for a long time. And initially, they would use the Lord's name in vain all the time, or they would tell off-color jokes, or they would use foul language. But over time, as salt enhancers, flavor enhancers, as we patiently, lovingly witness to them and be their friend and not judge them, we don't change them. It's the Spirit of God within us that causes them to realize that they don't need to speak like that around us. And I have noticed changes in people like that as we do that. That change won't come if we get in people's faces and berate them for using the language they use. We just love them for who they are because, you know what? Truth be told, we were once like that. We have once acted like that. We once talked like that. But because of the change in us, because of the Holy Spirit living within us, God has changed us. And we can bring that into our environment. We can be a flavor enhancer to the society around us. We should always be taking a self-inventory on if we are bringing the seasoning of God into every situation. Is your personal presence making a difference in your world? Are you doing your job as the salt of the earth where God has placed you? So we have salt as a preservative, salt as a flavor enhancer. Now, did you know that salt was used as an antiseptic? How many of you guys have ever had a salt bath? Or a salt soak? Epsom salt is a big seller. I grew up with it. Sprain an ankle? Put your foot in it. Sometimes maybe just getting into a salt tub. Get in a tub and, you know, you would think I'm going to turn to a prune. It's going to dry me up. But there's something, I'm trying to think of the word now, it makes you feel good. I'm sorry? Well, healing is a good word, yes. That's not the word I was thinking, but
Epsom salt.
I did mention Epsom salt. But it is healing. It's therapeutic. That was the word. But healing is a good word, too. It's something very therapeutic about that. So before the modern day dirt and disease were common enemies to health, salt was used as an antiseptic to combat that. So this was especially true in areas that were considered unclean, tainted, or contaminated. Areas so filthy that it could potentially become hazardous to one's health. It was believed that salt would work like a disinfectant. When properly applied in heavy doses, salt sanitized, hygienically cleansed, and made a location relatively germ-free. See, they didn't walk around with their little hand dispensers of, what's that little cleaner that you use these days since COVID? Everybody's carrying them around. They didn't have that back then. They used salt as an antiseptic. Salt sterilized non-sterile environments. If a rapidly spreading disease was found to exist in a village, the sick people were cleared out and relocated, and salt was immediately spread to disinfect the contaminated area so that it could not spread. Salt I see someone cleaning their hands right now. Salt was a powerful cleansing force. Would you like some salt? Used in the ancient days and was believed it would assist in freeing the environment of infections. Salt was also used as an antiseptic in the fodder of barns and barnyards. What? Yeah, it was. The places where sickness and disease could swiftly spread among the animals. So what did they do? They put small doses of salt scattered on the fodder. And it served as a deterrent to the proliferation of the diseases among the animals. Isn't that interesting? How many of us knew that? One? Okay. I didn't realize that they had done that back in those days. And I'm a much older man, Lloyd. You know that. Good for you. Those who heard Jesus say, "We are to be the salt of the earth," understood that through our influence, we are called to be what? A spiritual antiseptic to the world that is diseased with what? With sin. Huh. Even a small dose of one's spiritual salt that is within us is so powerful as a disinfecting agent that if it was shook out on society, it would help deter the spread of sin and moral decay. So let me ask you again, are you a salt shaker? What would this world look like if God removed all his salt shakers, you and I? Right now, we need to ask ourselves this question. Am I doing my job as the salt of the earth? You know, our very presence can hinder the proliferation of sin and its effects. Are we allowing God to use us by cleansing our environment as his antiseptic to promote a more spiritually sanitized environment? So think about that question. When we walk into a situation, do people see Christ in us, or do we fit right in as part of the world? We should be seen as Christ within us. We should stand out. And people should know that we are indeed different. So, are we being a preservative? Are we being a flavor enhancer? Are we being an antiseptic? Salt was also used as a medicinal and healing agent, like a salt soak and bath. Ancient physicians used salt as a healing agent. Salt would be poured into severe wounds to sanitize them from germs. Did you know this could kill germs? Salt was used to stop the spread of infection. What else would it be used for on a wound? To stop the bleeding. It would help coagulate. And it speeds up healing of the wound. Interesting. It's a known fact that salt has healing properties that cause wounds to heal more readily. In ancient days, healing medicines were rare and not as accessible as they are today. We go down to the pharmacy and there's like, oh my goodness, what do I get? Back then, I need some salt. You know, they didn't have much. And salt was the go-to, you know, because it was probably a lot more available than a lot of the other healing things, even though it was still hard to get. Salt was used. So, salt was an indispensable product in every doctor's medical bag. It was the most used item for the treatment of open wounds. For us today, when we cut ourselves, we don't run home and go, "Mom, I need some salt." You don't hear our kids yelling, "Mom, we need some salt on our wound." No, we go get the peroxide and we get the antibiotic ointments and stuff like that. But we do use Epsom salt, as I mentioned earlier. And I have found it does help when you have a swollen ankle or any swelling. Epsom salt is good for that. So when Jesus said that his people were to be the salt of the earth, they understood him that through our influence, that they should be carriers of physical healing to a world that is rife with suffering of all kind of sickness and ailments. As God's children, we have been empowered with what? The gift of the Holy Spirit. And through the power of the Spirit, we can be used to administer physical and spiritual healing because of the authority given to us in the name of Jesus. And believers, believe this, we all have that power. We are carriers of God's healing salt. Are you doing your job as the salt of the earth? Salt was used to give protection from and, get this, I don't know if you knew this one, to drive away evil spirits. Some people thought it was garlic. That would drive anybody away. But no, it's interesting. In ancient times, salt was used in pagan religious rituals to give protection from and to drive away evil spirits. So while Israel was under Roman rule, they witnessed the pagan practice of salt being rubbed on newborn babies. Not to generate them to breathe or anything else, but it was to, with the belief that it would protect them and drive away the evil spirits. That's what the pagan rituals believed. It was a common belief, not only in Rome, but other pagan nations as well, that salt had magical powers to protect one from evil and to drive evil spirits away. So, when those who heard Jesus say that Christians were to be the salt of the earth, they understood that through our influence, we are to be a source of spiritual protection, safety, and freedom to people who have been assaulted by demonic powers. Demons are real, guys. They fled when Jesus came, or Jesus spoke a word and they were gone. And what did Jesus say of us? You will do greater and mightier things than I. What? That's what he said. How is that possible? It's possible because we have the Holy Spirit residing within us, and we are the salt of the earth. So because of that, evil can be driven back. It can be driven away. Fear not. We have been empowered to be the salt of the earth. Are we doing just that today? Are people around you spiritually protected, experiencing delivery, safety, and freedom from the attacks of the enemy? Are their lives different, safer, and better because of you? Are you the salt of the earth? Here's another interesting one. How many farmers do we have? Oh, I saw a hand go up. You ever use salt as a fertilizer? Salt was used as a fertilizer. So if you want good crops, listen to this. Salt was used by farmers to enrich and fertilize the soil. The soil. It is used to enrich our soil too. By doing this, they could produce larger crops of a higher quality. I did not know this either, so I learned something here. Even small amounts would help the soil. The best salt nourished and stimulated the earth to produce better crops. When Jesus said we were to be the salt of the earth, it could have actually been translated the salt of the soil. Our godly presence should positively impact the quality of life on those around us. We actually have that much power that has been given us by the Lord through Jesus. So, as the salt of the earth, we are to enrich the atmosphere wherever we go through our influence, because we carry the life of God within us. Just like salt enriched the soil, we are to enrich the environment. We are to make life better around us. When we walk into any situation, the environment surrounding us is filled with more peace, joy, and hope than when it was before we arrived. Because as the salt of the earth, we have the power to make a difference everywhere. We are scattered. Are you bringing that to the environment around you? Are you bringing peace, hope, and joy because of the salt that is within you? Now, I've been preaching mainly out of Matthew, but we are going to go to Colossians real quick. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. Because Paul exhorts us there as Christians to be salt shakers. Colossians 4, 6 says, let your speech what? Always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer each one. When people hear you speak, what are they hearing? Our speech should always be seasoned with salt. People should never hear us. Hear me now, because we're all guilty of this, okay? And I'm a big offender. They should not hear us complaining. They should not hear us being critical. They should not hear us using negative words as do the rest of the world. Instead, we can and should exert a spiritually positive attitude in our environment. When we are seasoned with salt, we should speak words that bring preservation, words that flavor life and make it taste better, words that bring healing to the sick, words that disinfect and free those who were once contaminated, words that are filled with protection, safety, and deliverance, words that are so faith-filled they create a blessed environment around us. So it was not by happenstance that Jesus chose to use the term to be the salt of the earth. It was very deliberate, considering all the uses and benefits of what salt can do and produce. His point was very powerful. If we are doing our job as being the salt of the earth, there should be what? There should be fruit all around us to reveal that God's salt is doing its job. When is the last time you took a salt inventory? Hopefully, your salt has not become useless to be tossed out and trampled underfoot. If your salt is lacking, there is good news. Unlike this salt that would go bad, it's no longer useless. We can be reinfused because of Jesus. We can be restored because of Jesus. We can be replenished because of Jesus. But here's the truth. We should be replenishing our salt on a daily basis. We shouldn't be resting on the old salt. We should be asking for new salt. Not yesterday's salt, but today's salt. We should be going to God every day saying, God, refresh my salt so I can be about your business being a salt shaker on this earth. And we do that by prayer? Bible study? Did I say Bible study? Bible study. Reading God's Word. We need to be in His Word. And another essential, fellowshipping with other salt shakers. We need to gather as salt shakers and shake out on each other as well. Because we all have a little different taste of salt. Let's blend it all together. And woohoo! That'll make a real tangy meal on the environment around us. Let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. We are to gather together, as Hebrews tells us, so that we can encourage each other to be salt shakers in this wicked, rotting, decaying world, awaiting our blessed assurance and return of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so very thankful that you have called us to be the salt of the earth. Today, we want to step forward and surrender to be the salt of the earth that you intended us to be. Help us guard our mouths so that we speak words that bring preservation, words that make life better, words that bring healing to the sick, words that disinfect and free people who were once contaminated by evil, words that are filled with protection, safety, and deliverance, and words so faith-filled they create a blessed environment everywhere we go. Jesus has called us to be the salt of the earth, and that is exactly what we are going to be. We declare that we are what God's Word says we are, and Jesus called us the salt of the earth. So that is exactly what we are. Because of who He is in us, we are a preserving, healing, delivering, life-enhancing force that positively affects every person, every place we go. It isn't us, but it's the greater one who lives in us that makes us a powerful difference in our environment. Because He lives in us, we are able to positively influence everyone our lives touch. We are the salt of the earth. We declare this by faith in the strong name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.